The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, through her own experiences of suffering and feeling the silence of God, Susie Larson has learned that Jesus is closer than your next breath.
When God breaks through into the natural circumstances, He's trying to bring a greater revelation of your identity or His lordship or the calling and purposes on your life. But when you encounter God and it's so life-changing, you get a little panicky when you go through a silent season.
Welcome to Life Today. I am Randy Robison, and I am here to encourage you. You might be watching right now because you're going through some difficulties or you've been through some traumatic things. You might be wondering, where's God? Are you even there? I need to tell you something. You're not alone. And I mean that two different ways. I mean that, first of all, you're not alone because God is with you. And you may not see it, but I'm telling you, He is. And I'm also saying that because you're not the only one to feel that way. A lot of people have felt that way, and a lot of people feel that way right now. That's why I am here to go back a few months to a program that my parents did with a woman named Susie Larson. And Susie has experienced a lot of things physically, emotionally. There's been some abuse. There's just been a lot. There's been the kinds of things that you don't really want to live in, the kinds of things you'd rather forget, the kinds of things you want to get over and get healed from and move on from. But it was in those moments that she realized that God is not just with her, but He's, as her book title says, closer than your next breath. So here's my question for you. Are you having trouble just breathing right now? Do you wonder if God really is out there? Well, I want you to watch this and listen as God tells you, yeah, I'm closer than your next breath. Enjoy this encouragement with Susie Larson.
Susie, we're glad to have you.
So honored to be back with you. Thank you for having me.
Do you know how many years now you've been coming here?
I think the first time I came was 20 years ago. So, yeah. Thank you. It's amazing you keep inviting me back.
Yeah, so we'll never stop because you'll just continue to inspire us all. For 30 years, you have been under attack physically. Did the attack start 30 years ago? Did it intensify or start with Lyme disease? Because I know you got Lyme disease, which is just one of the most confusing, strange, dangerous, deadly diseases that can come from a tick.
Indeed,
Is that where most of it started?
You know, I would have to say, I'd have to back up, and I told parts of this story maybe on past shows with you, but I often say that the enemy sees your potential long before you ever do, and you just go back to your childhood and you see
his
threat against you is so connected to your threat to him, right? And he will go after you before you even know that you have a target on your back. And so I would say, you know, as a child raised in a denomination, I knew God was real, but I did not know Jesus was accessible. I didn't have the gospel preached to me or anything like that. And at 9 years old, I suffered a sexual assault at the hands of teenage boys. Man. I didn't tell anybody about that because my dad was the mayor of our city. Mm. I was so confused about whose fault that was. And I absorbed it. And basically, insecurity, a spirit of fear, all those things really were so big for me. 10 years old, I was walking home from school, and I was jumped by a different group of boys in our suburb.
Oh, goodness.
And they'd beaten terribly. Mm. They punched me, kicked me, pulled fistfuls of hair out. And when I got up from that beating, I heard in my ear, not audibly, but it might as well have been, I can get to you anytime, anywhere, and God will never stop me. So as a little girl, I knew God was real, and at that moment, I knew the devil was real. When I came to Christ, like eighth or ninth grade, it would be even going into my young adult years as a young married woman, I knew I was saved once I became a Christian. I didn't know I was loved. So, and I think that's probably true for a lot of believers, even seasoned believers may know they're saved, but they don't know they're loved. And if you don't have that resolved and you have a lot of trauma and the enemy will go after every one of God's children, you won't always resolve those things in light of God's love. You'll be tempted to accuse God of things that the devil is guilty of. And for me, as I was telling you before the show, our third pregnancy, I was on bed rest for 6 months. So because prior to that, I was serving on 5 committees at church because even though I was saved, I didn't know I was loved. So what you do when that's the case is you misuse your time, treasure, and talents to prove something Jesus has already proven. So I was super Christian because I was so grateful, but I felt like I had things payback and I had things to earn. So to go out to bed rest was a nightmare come true because everybody was doing favors for us. They were getting tired on my behalf, and it confronted all my insecurities. So when the doctor let me up for one day, I'd been in bed for 3 months with a 1- and a 3-year-old, and one was strong-willed, so not everybody wanted to watch him when they offered to babysit my kids. But I was allowed up for one day because I hadn't contracted in a couple of days, and the doctor said, let's just see how you do. And so I met my old college roommates. It was a fall day, went for a walk, had lunch. We were so careful. I was contracting by night, and 2 weeks later, my face went numb. My memory started to go, and it took a year to find out that that one day out, I was bit by the deer tick unknowingly. And what happened in my heart, the Lord, I mean, the enemy, I can get to you anytime, anywhere, and God will never stop me. And so even as a really serious Christian, that lie was embedded in my soul and really something I had to wrestle through my whole life because this disease is wretched, as you say, James. And so I've been here since I had a massive relapse. I did pretty well for the last 20 years. I mean, I manage it. I'm a fighter. I want to live. I have things I want to do. And probably a handful of times a year, I can't get out of bed. But then I get out of bed and I start swinging again. And about 8 years ago, I had a pretty terrible relapse. And I was in my bathroom getting ready. I work in radio, talk radio host. My arms went numb. My face, my neck went numb. The room started to spin. High pitch ringing in my ears, and I'm going, no, God, no, God, please, no, God. And I hear him whisper, the storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need. And I'm like, what? The storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need. I'm like, what is the lie that I believe? And at this point, my neck is going numb and my esophagus is spasming so bad I can't swallow. It was like the enemy had me by the throat up against the wall, and he says, I can get to you anytime, anywhere. And there was the lie. So I wrote a lot about that in previous books. This book is about moving from bracing for impact to anticipating God's goodness. Because when you've had a lot of trauma and loss, it is easy to live that way where you, and I really thought my locked elbows, like I still worship God, I was in the Word. I mean, I serve Him as best as I can. I thought this bracing kind of posture was just a natural result of some years of hardship, but it was a mistrust of God. And when I started to understand in the silent seasons, in the active seasons, He's the same God and He is for us. And so even if you can't sense His presence, it's for our good. So this book is all about understanding that you are tethered to a good God, whether you feel Him or not. So it's all about His presence. But I have to tell you, when I got the book back, when it was time to read for the audiobook, it was a healing balm to my soul because I'd already been through other battles with this health challenge, and it was just a reminder that He is who He says He is, and He's going to do what He says He'll do. And it doesn't mean we're exempt from really hard, hard stuff, but He's with us in the battle, and that means a lot.
I feel like just listening to you, you said it's a reminder. We need those reminders, don't we, in our life of how close He is to us. Because as far as church life, I had a similar deal. I was active in church, did all the right things, thought I had to prove my loyalty, you know, and my dedication until I met someone that hadn't been in church at all, that had a real relationship with Jesus.
Wow.
And through that, through Him, I came to know Him. Mm. And it made such a difference in my life. But there's more.
Yeah, there's much more.
Accepting Him, yes, that's the first step. But there's more to knowing how to live for Him and with Him in our heart.
Yeah, He has so much more for us. And one of the things I explore in the book is about, you know, what is the presence? And is feeling good the same as feeling God? And what I've noticed in Scripture and in as people I've interviewed in my own life, when you have a manifest present moment, and I would guess this would be the same for you, where you point back to real God encounters where you're like, that was God, I encountered Him. I often see that it's so often about lordship, or it's about identity, or it's about calling, or an upgrade in faith. When God breaks through into the natural circumstances, He's trying to bring a greater revelation of your identity, or His lordship, or the calling and purposes on your life. But when you encounter God and it's so life-changing, you get a little panicky when you go through a silent season. And again, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book too. What do you do when you can't hear Him, can't sense Him? Is He the same God?
And I want us to dwell on that in just a few minutes. But let me ask you a question. from the time I was conscious, as a toddler even, I was under attack. Mm-hmm. I was a hated being.
Yep.
And I really do believe that the more you're aware that some force is coming at you, the more clearly you should understand God has a kingdom purpose for you, that you are divinely enabled, supernaturally enabled to accomplish, that actually frightens the enemy, because he loses ground, he loses people, he loses territory. He hates that. So he hates any of us that have been especially gifted and chosen, and he attacked you, but he's attacking everybody out here. But the enemy had hit me and hit me, and I said something to him after he delivered a pretty severe blow. And I really did flip that on him. And I used it for the glory of God to see people set free in areas the enemy never would have believed he would watch happen. And here's what I said to him. I just want to see if you bear witness with this. I said, listen to me, and I'm talking to the devil. Whatever you hit me with, whatever you hit my family with, you will regret it, because I will use it as a club on you to make you regret the day that you delivered that blow. Does that make sense?
100% amen. 100%. And I will tell you, a lot of times they say when you have a passage that you keep defaulting to, it's like a life script. You're just talking right now about Psalm 18, because that's a passage that speaks of going from victim to victor. Because I didn't have a Christian context. So all the stuff that was happening to me, it's like I had the word, but I remember God saying, are you a believer because only because you secured your eternity? Or do you actually believe this stuff? When are you going to shift your way down to the promises to see if they hold? And when I found Psalm 18, the enemy confronted me at a day when I was weakest. He, you know, he does that. He goes and hits us when we're down, and he fights personal, goes after those we love. But my cry reached his ears, and the Lord got so angry. And this is the thing. He treats his children differently than those who don't fear and revere him. He does. Our cry reaches his ears. And it says he veiled his approach in darkness. So we don't see him coming, but neither does the enemy. He rescues us from on high because he delights in us. He puts us in a spacious place. And I would say in that place is where he heals us, but then he trains our hands for battle. He allows us to walk on high places. And then the rest of the psalm, you chase the enemy down. You put your foot on his neck. And I'm telling you, when that enemy had me by the throat, it was terrifying. For months, every time I looked down, my esophagus would spasm. One time when I came to be on your show, I'd lost 8 pounds in 8 days. I was living on bites of food because every time I ate, the spasms were so bad. And I didn't think I was going to make it. I almost canceled the flight. When I think of the ways that he has hit, but that neck thing was so personal to me. And when I read that in the Psalms, that your foot will be on his neck, I said almost the exact same thing, James. I'm like, I'm going to make you sorry you ever messed with me, because everywhere you come against me, God wants to bless me. And overwhelming victory belongs to me because I belong to him. Amen. So let's do this, you know? And I feel that way. I don't ever say, bring it on. I don't. I fear God, and I've seen enough. I'm not asking. I'm not picking a fight, but I'm not backing down either.
Yeah, you're not going to back down or bow down to him. You need to understand that. I want all of you to know this. This program and the next program, you don't need to miss. This is for you. God is wanting to show you. How is it that we don't see how deeply he loves us in the gift of his son, Jesus, who took all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our failure, all of our guilt, and he died for us to cover it and deliver us as far as the east is from the west, from the eternal effects of that sin and that failure. He gave us life. It's the love of God that gave it. But it's so hard sometimes for you to believe how much he loves you. You're going to come to see how much God loves you. And the very fact that you may have been attacked and you may be confused and puzzled about why things happen, because the enemy hates God's purpose in you. And you've got to let the enemy know, God is going to succeed in my life, and I'm going to live and make an impact for his kingdom purpose. God's will can be done on his earth.
Amen.
And the church has got to believe
Come
that.
On.
That's the only way we're going to have a future.
It's exactly.
I want you to kind of wrap this show with some sort of an invitation to the viewer to move into a place, and we're going to talk very much about the accuser and how a lot of times what he says, we know we fail. We feel a person who's ever met God and has ever even known grace regrets the fact that we do fail. Yeah. And they don't realize that the whole Bible was written by failed people mm-hmm. and failing mm-hmm. people, not perfect people. Mm-hmm. You know, I was praying the other day. I said, Lord, what's the deal with all these people that you use so mightily and they fail so much? He said, well, you know, I have a real problem with people who are self-righteous. All these failures don't have a self-righteous attitude. They know exactly where righteousness is and who righteousness is. I said, well, boy, that's for sure. I don't have a problem with self-righteousness. I know where it is and I know my failure. So please, please, please give us a chance to help you understand that you can not only lean on God's shoulder, you can be in His arms. He is the shelter from every storm. But He also has a purpose of life and love and meaning to flow through you. Share with our viewers what you hope they're hearing even in this program.
Well, it's not that we loved God, it's that He loved us. And we have to know He loved us first and He loves us first every time. And I will tell you, one of the revelations that came to me was in Psalm 106. It's the Amplified Version because I want to learn from the Israelites' mistakes because, you know, I've been so curious, feeling like we are an exiled people. So I'm like, how did they get it wrong? Because I want to get it right. And one of the things is they stop listening to God's voice. And when you listen to any other voice but God's, your heart will automatically harden. But Psalm 106, in the Amplified Version, there's a little nugget of wisdom for us. Three things that they did wrong that I think we can do that will change things for us. One, they forgot to marvel and remember the significance of God's miracles. So I say to you that if you're waiting for your miracle, pull the miracles from Scripture of old and bring them to the forefront because those are your miracles. And I would dare say you've got some of your own testimonies from your history. Bring those to the forefront and say, this is the same God. Because it broke God's heart that they didn't remember or appreciate the significance of His miracles. Second is they no longer marveled at His mercies, the abundance of His mercies. And just as you're saying, James, oh, the things that He's forgiven in us. And the fact that He sends new mercies to our door every morning before we even have a chance to blow it shows you how He's gone ahead of us. That should keep us perpetually in awe. And the third mistake they made is they didn't imprint God's loving kindness on their hearts. So I say, stay in awe by remembering His miracles, marvel at His mercies, and keep rehearsing the fact that God is good. It'll change your physiology. It'll change your brain. It'll change your faith perspective.
I love Susie's insight. Oh my goodness. For someone who's been through so much, she just has a depth and a hope that's just, I love it. Okay. One more observation I will say on that. And she talked about the Israelites there. Many of them did not reach that promised land because they believed the report of the majority. 12 spies were sent into that land. Two came back and said, yeah, we can win. 10 came back and said, nope, no chance. I don't know what the report has been on your life, but I'm here to tell you that if you listen to the word from God, and it may be in the minority, if you fight, you will win. If you want someone to fight alongside with you, and it will be a fight, by the way, you got to fight to win. If you want somebody to fight with you, pick up that phone. We have people, we have prayer warriors, people that will just listen, will pray with you, will plead your case before God with you and help remind you that you're not alone. And I don't know what your victory looks like, but God does. And He's already secured it. But you got to get up. You got to get up and fight and win. And that's true all across life. We fight for our relationships, for our marriage, fight for our health. Sometimes we fight for our sanity. Yeah. We fight an enemy unseen. We fight an enemy seen. It's a fight, fight, fight. But again, with God on our side, we win. That's the promise. We know the back of the book. Speaking of books, if you want Closer Than Your Next Breath by Susie Larson, we'd love to send it to you just to encourage you in your fight. We ask you to join us in another fight, and that is the fight against malnutrition, the fight against hunger, oftentimes the fight against death. We have partners in place right now around the world to help us in this fight, but we need you to join us. Watch this as we go to one of our mission partners fighting the fight in what we call mission feeding.
In rural Africa, When families don't have enough food to eat, it is the children who suffer the most. Sub-Saharan Africa has the highest mortality rate than any place in the world in children under 5 due to the effects of malnutrition. But in the midst of suffering, there are moments to celebrate.
I want you to meet Teresa, this young girl, just a month ago, was in this malnutrition clinic, literally fighting for her life. One of those children where it's just skin and bone, where it's a child that has no life in their eyes, that literally we are doing everything we can to try and save their life. And we knew with Teresa, like so many, that the chances are not always there that we can actually rescue their life. And yet, because of mission feeding, because of being there in this clinic, because of reaching Teresa in time, here she stands today, a young girl that is recovering, that is getting her strength back and is able to now continue living life. But there's so many in this country right now that we're not reaching. Children out in the villages, mothers who are telling us that they can't get to clinics, that they don't have food to feed their children, children that look like severe cases in malnutrition clinics that are right out there in the villages. If we're not able to reach them today, their story is not gonna end like Teresa's. We need you to do everything you can do. We need the friends of life to open their hearts today and to give the very best gift they can give, because we have to reach more children here in Angola and save their lives.
You know, I love seeing the stories of children that have benefited from the mission feeding outreach. I don't know if you noticed, but in a lot of the pictures, you'll see a little building behind the line of children. That's because education, those are school buildings, education is a foundational part of the mission feeding outreach. Typically, we feed in the schools. The children go to school, they get something to eat. Well, why do we do that? Because mission feeding is not just about meeting the immediate need. It does that, but it's also about building for a future with a hope. And so what we're doing here is a program with vision. Over 350,000 children every single day on average receive that bowl of nutritious soup, and that's just to get them through the day. Oftentimes it's in areas where there has been a crisis, perhaps a famine, perhaps a flood, perhaps displacement from civil unrest, whatever the situation. We go in and hold them over until they can get back on their feet and can continue to build for their future. Now, that's a great thing, I think. A lot of organizations will do this, but let me tell you a key difference. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have requirements. If you're hungry, that's really the only requirement to receive that bowl of food. But when you're around people, when you're saving people's lives, they know. They sometimes will ask, and sometimes we have opportunities to go in and preach, just outright preach the gospel to people, but we can always demonstrate it through those works. That's what we're inviting you to be a part of, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the gospel in word and deed, not just to tell people about Christ or tell them about his love, but to show it to the people in need. That's why we want you to be a part of it. The more people participate, the more people are able to give, the more that we can reach. And believe me, the need is there, but I believe the solution is there, and I believe the solution is you. Right now, the situation is critical. Children are dying in clinics, and they don't need to. We need to reach them before they get to that point, before they get to the clinic. We do it through your participation. We do it through $30 that helps feed 3 children for the next 3 months. A gift of $50 feeds 5. $100 will help feed 10. Maybe you can give $1,000 and help feed 100 children just for the next few months. Whatever God has enabled you to do, whatever he's put on your heart to do, I pray that you'll do it right now. Pick up the phone or go online, however you prefer. Make the best gift you can towards mission feeding. Know that it will save lives, it will give them hope, it will give them a future, and it will be done in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Extreme drought and famine putting at risk thousands of lives means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the Daily Life Devotional Calendar. This perpetual calendar has 365 days worth of scriptures and inspirational thoughts to remind you of the rest you can find in God's loving arms. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Light of Life desk lamp. Find comfort and encouragement from Jesus' words in John 8:12, displayed on this standalone acrylic desk lamp, perfect for home or office decor, as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do hope you're going online or going to the phone. Make the best gift you can. Look, this is a fight we can win. We've been winning it for decades, and I know you go, well, why are you still fighting it? Well, that's because needs arise, situations change, but you know what? The consistency of helping the poor never changes in God's eyes. We're blessed when we reach out. So do, make the best gift you can. If you want the encouragement that Susie Larson has put into her book, just ask for Closer Than Your Next Breath when you make the best gift you can. We'd love to send it to you. And remember, we've always got people on the other end of the phone to pray with you. We really do care about you as a viewer, as we care about those around the world with physical needs. Encouragement, hope, healing, that's what God offers. That's what we want to bring to you every day. So join us again next time here on Life Today. Oh, you can hear me cry, see my dreams all die
from where you're standing. I just want to remind all of you that we do approach the end of the year and the new year, but we have a wonderful time to make year-end gifts, which are not only a blessing to all the people that the gift literally gives life to, but also gives you a break. It's very meaningful. So keep that in mind and just know that we're going to share the life and love of God because of your help.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Call now or go online to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time.
Introducing the all-new LifeToday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs. Visit LifeToday.org and experience the best of life.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.